right, now we will let's see, give a warm welcome to Patrick from New York, New York, sharing on step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Come on in, Patrick.
My name's Patrick. I'm an alcoholic. It's nice to be here today. I live in Chappaqua, New York, in Westchester. I'm from outside of West Philadelphia in Delaware County, PA. And I got sober on October 27th in 2007. I attend a lot of meetings still, and I primarily go to the Atlantic Group in Manhattan, and I also go sometimes if there's like a big book study or solution-based meeting up here in Pleasantville in New York. I also I have a job. I do have a career, and it all kind of unfolded at the same time. I'm a New York City fireman. I've been on the job for almost 17 years. I'm an officer now in the fire department. Just like my experience with Alcoholics Anonymous is it is a very straightforward experience, and it very much is in the book. I probably just through life circumstance and living in New York, living in the boroughs, being in civil service, it's somebody like me, I really in hindsight, like I would not have survived here unless I was fully immersed in the big book, following the directions to the best of my abilities. I've always had a sponsor, and I've been through the work in different fashions in many different times over the years. And I have had different fifth steps, different experiences with different sponsors. And my sober life now does look a lot like the 10, 11, and 12, the directions in the back of the book. I do continue to do a lot of inventory. I'm not somebody who's really like in a position anymore to be like rationalizing or justifying resentments and fear in my conduct. And I'm really not completely interested in like defending alcoholism like I did for a lot of years in my sobriety. But I'm just gonna kind of just try to I'm gonna just try to like weave my way to the 12th step, because it is important that I do qualify, because I don't know who's on this meeting, and I don't know where somebody is at in their sobriety or questioning whether they're a real alcoholic or not. And it is very important that if you are a real alcoholic, that you understand you are a real alcoholic, because if you look specifically in the big book, it is written that it's saying that I'm in a distinct entity, and I am set apart from an average or a normal kind of person that drinks with impunity or can handle life on life's terms or whatever, easier than I do. So before I drank, and this is all through a lot of step work and sponsorship and prayer and meditation and reflection and writing, but I was very like restless, irritable, and discontented. There was definitely this feeling of anxious apartness. I could have had, a strong drink or a sponsor the day I got on the bus for kindergarten. I went to school, I stared out the window, I didn't pay attention to anything. When it was time to learn how to read, I messed up reading, and then I just labeled myself a complete idiot, and then I didn't know how to really read right, and I struggled in school, and I was so afraid, and I sat in the back of the classroom, and like my whole life from the very beginning was very much like, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. Everybody else gets and understands life. Why don't I? And this is what like an 8-year-old child is thinking. So my parents, through education, I got put on Ritalin at an early age in the 80s. And I was medicated. And then like kind of 14 and 15 years old, I self-took myself off of Ritalin. And then not too long after that, I started smoking grass. And then really pretty shortly after that, I picked up alcohol. And I'll just say, when I drank alcohol for the first time, like it's written in the book, it was a discovery. You know, it was like I discovered a new land. And I suddenly went from somebody who was completely afraid of their own shadow to like the guy in high school, captain of the hockey team, you know, the guy on the golf team, doing all these things. It treated my mental illness, or it treated the illness of alcoholism, you know, which it said, it's written in the book in page 35. It's saying it's a mental phenomenon that parallels with sound reasoning, and my sound reasoning fails to hold me in check. And so blah, blah, blah. Now I'm drinking, drinking, drinking. Of course, I'm the real alcoholic. Like it says in There Is a Solution and More About Alcoholism. So I'm drinking alcohol. It's treating this mental illness. It's treating this condition that I have had since I'm a young kid. And then in my 20s, something started to happen. And I'm like, oh my God, this is kind of not working anymore. Then I picked up a lot. I was doing a lot of cocaine. But again, I don't ever touch anything else until I'm drinking alcohol. I'm the real alcoholic. I have the phenomenon of craving. I have the absolute thing that is written in the doctor's opinion. I have that. I identify with it. I've done enough step work around the first step to really understand that I am this thing. And so I was, what started to happen was, is now in my early 20s, I'm starting to do this thing where I'm like swearing off alcohol forever. I'm not doing this anymore. I can't do this. All of my friends appear to be getting their life together, going to college and blah, blah, blah. And they're getting it together. And I'm like at home at the dive bar, sitting at the bar, trying to figure out how I'm going to stop behaving this way. And, you know, the more that I try to fight and manage and control my drinking, the strange part of this illness is that I keep drinking more and more and more. And then the more I try to fix, manage, and control my alcohol consumption, the strange paradox of phenomenon of all this is that I keep drinking more and more and more. And so in about 22, 23 years old, I surfaced in outpatient rehab. I sat around in a circle with grown men, lawyers, and doctors in Devon, Pennsylvania, in a very affluent area. And I sat and I was a 22-year-old kid saying, I think I've overshot the mark. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. Like, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? And I wasn't comparing to what these men were doing. I'm sorry. I wasn't identifying. I was comparing. And I compared myself out of outpatient. And then I went to a couple of AA meetings. And when you're not ready, you're not ready. And I fixated on everything that I wasn't and everything that was wrong. And I left. Then I got hired in the New York City Fire Department. I was stone cold, stark raving, crazy, dry, not drinking. I came to New York. I was in the fire academy. Now I was failing out of the fire academy, and all of this stuff was coming, like, you know, like it described some of the early speaker tapes I used to listen to, like when you jam on the brakes and everything in the back of the truck just piles on top of you. And that's how I felt. I was not drinking. I was in New York. I was in the New York City Fire Academy. And I'm in the academy with guys that came back from Afghanistan and were soldiers and military and all this stuff. And they were college graduates and all this. And here I am again as the loser, and I'm a failure, and I'm never going to do this. And I'm anxious, and I'm not feeling well. And I'm anxious all the time, and I'm scared. And I picked up alcohol again. And one drink after 8 months of being dry or not drinking or abstinence, I drank a drink, and then I just was drinking every single day. And oddly enough, in hindsight, picking the alcohol up was able to treat my alcoholism to get me through the fire academy. And then I got to my first firehouse, and it was in my mind, in the delusional state of mind. I got to my first firehouse, and it was a lot of like grown men who were just kind of off of 9/11. And it was kind of a really rough environment. And when you're the new guy, you're in the machine of the job. And I was an unprincipled person, highly sensitive, highly emotional, highly delusional. And I wasn't understanding that I'm here to learn the job and get myself into the principles of the job because I'm here to be a civil servant for the city. I was taking this all personally, and everybody's out to get me. The world's out to get me. So I was drinking and drinking and drinking. And then I was like missing work and all this stuff. And then I was in Astoria, Queens, in my apartment by myself. And there was this voice. It was like a very thunderous voice that was like, go to Alcoholics Anonymous. I was like, I got very shook. And I called a friend, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I think I need to go to AA. And he was like, where do you live? And essentially, there was an AA meeting starting 10 minutes down the street from where I lived, on 43rd and 30th Avenue, St. Joe's Church in Astoria, Queens. Big, beautiful church. The church is shot a lot in the movie A Bronx Tale. And I went. I don't know what happened. I just got up. I went to this meeting, and there was people there. They welcomed me. They gave me meeting books. They circled meetings, and I was in AA. So I have like 17 minutes here. So what happened to me was that I was in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was attending meetings every day. And around like 90 days to 6 months, I was understanding that I was in the right ballpark. But what was happening to me was that I was getting perpetually sicker and sicker and sicker and more neurotic and more crazy. And I was waking up with a lot of worry, remorse, and morbid reflection. And I was starting to like remember all of these things that I did drinking, and I was like being horrified by my mind all day long. And I was like, I got to the point at around 6 or 9 months where I was like, if this is sobriety, I'm not doing this, and I'm going back to drinking. And I was going to go drink again. And I was walking into a bar, and a guy from AA called me, and I don't know why I answered the phone, and he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, it just came out of my mouth. I was like, I'm going to drink actually right now. And he's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's like, why don't you meet me at the diner? And it was a big turning point. And I didn't drink. And I went to the diner. I met this guy. I ate something. I calmed down. And then a couple of weeks later, I went to this meeting in Woodside, Queens. Or I'm sorry. Somebody gave me a speaker tape of a guy, Peter M., who was from Red Hook, Brooklyn in Union, New Jersey, and now lives in Florida. and I listened to the speaker CD and I had like a meltdown and I had a breakdown. And I was like, I knew that there was some answer in AA. I knew that there was a solution here, but I wasn't finding it. And I went out to a big book study and then I started to understand things. And this person, Peter, linked me up with this guy in Woodside, Queens. And I sat at this diner. I met this guy in Woodside, Queens, who was like my first sponsor, my first real sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous. He was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous who had a spiritual experience, a spiritual awakening sufficient enough to overcome the personality or the alcoholic behavior, the mindset. He was armed with the facts. He knew specifically what alcoholism was. And this person helped me qualify as the real alcoholic. And I started doing my first real step work. I sat down with this man and we went page by page, line by line in the book. And I qualified myself as a real alcoholic. I understood now that I had this mental obsession, the phenomenon of craving, that my body processes alcohol differently. And then I started upon, you know, starting to treat the malady, or, you know, which is described on page 52, you know, the bedevilments or the turmoils of untreated alcoholism or the torments. And so I sat and I took the third step and I started upon my first fourth step. I did my first fifth step. I had an experience. I did a little bit of work in six and seven, enough to get me into an honest eighth step list. And then I started embarking upon making restitution to my past. And I had a revolutionary experience. I went back and I paid all the money back I stole. I made amends. I did everything that I was asked to do in the book. I got myself into the 10th and the 11th step. I started to adopt a prayer and a meditation life. And then I went on really to start sponsoring alcoholics. So the 12th step, if you really do look in our literature, if you look in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, so the 12 steps and 12 traditions. And I also read and work a lot out of the Little Red Book, which came before the 12 and 12. If you do look at these things, all the literature, the most things written in AA is on the 12th step. And the big step is step one. And a lot of times, you know, people say like the first step is what you have to get 100%. But if you honestly really are doing a 100% first step, you completely understand, and it's written in the first step in the 12 and 12, that in order to really do a first step, if you're a real alcoholic, you really do need to carry yourself through all 12 steps to have this awakening, to wake up. And there's three components to the 12th step, which is having had a spiritual awakening as a result of the first 11 steps. We do try to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, and the directions for doing that is in working with others. And then the manifestation of being awake and carrying the message is actually the power, the willingness, and the ability to attempt to practice the principles in all of your affairs, you know? So two-stepping is talked a lot about in AA, which a lot of people think that it's about, I'm an alcoholic and I need to go help people. It's really not. Two-stepping is about being that I'm locked inside of my head and I'm obsessing about trying to practice the principles in AA and all of my affairs, but I really don't have any power to do it. So, you know, for me, like, you know, the 12th step, it's a giant promise in reality, and that it's very hard for me to be in the 12th step unless I am constantly cleaning house. I have made all of my amends. You know, that like it talks about it in the end of the 12th step, that that my own house is in order, because if my own house isn't in order, I really can't transmit something that I don't have. You know, and being transmitted is being aligned with my higher power or the universe to be able to transmit like a clean message to somebody, that like if I am helping somebody or sponsoring somebody, that I am actually living this thing, and I don't have all of this like behavior going on in the background, you know, like carrying the message. Like right now I have a guy, a kid, 19 years old. He asked me to sponsor him. And, you know, like being in a place where I've been doing this for a while, it's like, he's calling me a lot. He's very eager to get going. He's very all over the place. Like, so I'm praying, I'm asking God, like, how can I help this kid? Like, where am I going to meet this kid correctly? Like, do I need to like jump into the book with a 19-year-old kid right away? Where is he at in life? Like, so I'm in a position today where I'm like, I'm noodling and asking this kid a lot of questions. I'm like, oh, your father's been in AA for 31 years. So I know in my mind, like, okay, he's been indoctrinated with a lot of Alcoholics Anonymous. He's been living in this. Has his dad been like forcing this down his throat for all of these years? Like, where is this kid? Where is he at right now? Like, these are things that I have the ability to do now because I'm like, I'm highly awakened and my house is in order. So like, if somebody does come to like, ask me for sponsorship, like, where am I at? Like, I know the provisions of working with others. I know the textbook very well. So it's talking about like, I need to go to my higher power. Am I going to jump into this work with this kid? Is this kid really ready? Is he really just a tourist in Alcoholics Anonymous? Is he just appeasing his parents? Like telling, reporting back to his parents, like, I got this sponsor. He knows everything about the big book. Like, where is this kid at? So like today, my life with helping people is much different. And, you know, a lot of like where I'm at today is like, I kind of am a person that helps people in AA with a lot of time in Alcoholics Anonymous that have like 10, 9, 12 and 13 years that have fallen back asleep in Alcoholics Anonymous, that have stopped writing inventory. They're not cleaning house. They're in very sick relationships. They're usually in sick relationships with another sick person in Alcoholics Anonymous. I get a lot of that right now. You know, they're up to a lot of dishonesty, men in their mid 30s with substantial time in sobriety. They have these massive, like, gambling addictions. They're very into like fantasy football. They're up to a lot of kooky behavior. So that's a lot of what I'm working with now today. As far as like people that are fresh out of the bar, it's not a lot of what I'm doing today. I also get a lot of drug addicts come my way. And that's another part of sponsorship. Like, I need to get honest with this. Do they have the phenomenon of craving? Do they hit all three sides of this illness? You know, like, I can't really sponsor heroin addicts. It just doesn't really come off very well. I've tried it. If somebody asks me for help, I'll go in there. I'll try. We'll get around the steps. But usually the honesty of the steps will kind of weed all of these people out. You know, like, you know, the 12th step, the sponsorship, my life. Like, what does this look like? The 12th step is a life step. It's supposed to be like, you know, if you look at the back chapters, like life in the back chapters, if you read the back chapters of the big book very carefully, it's very tumultuous. It's very tornado. There's hurricanes. There's skeletons in the closet. There's divorce. There's cheating. There's bankruptcy. But it's under the assumption that you're on the 12th step, woken up helping people. So when you look at the back chapters and you're on step zero, like, it's going to be tough to make it here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, you know, in the 12 and 12, like, it is the joy of living. Sponsoring people is the joy of living. The 12th step is a promise to me because it's about me waking up out of selfishness and self-centeredness. The promises of not being selfish and self-centered is that I genuinely want to help people, or that I'm awakened in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting and I'm looking around the room. Who are the day counters? Who's new here? Who's sitting in the corner? Like, you know, when you go to the Atlantic group, it's a big meeting. There's people just sitting by themselves. They're, you know, like, they're usually Men, I sponsor men. So when you look at men in AA that are not doing well, they have a very heavy head and they're usually very crouched down and looking at their phones, and the weight of the world is on their shoulders. So like, I can kind of spot now today when somebody's not doing well, because they're in this very they're in this very hunched over position. Like, you see the tension, you see the sickness all over them. It's like, you know, am I, you know, going and looking for this, you know, where am I at in this? The 12th step is really the biggest component of the 12th step too, is like, I really need to remain awake. Like, if I have a resentment, it has to go on paper. It says it specifically in the directions in the 4th step. My fear goes on paper. My conduct goes on paper. I'm reading this out to somebody. I have a sponsor and I have a 10th step buddy. So I read out the inventory. I get back woken up and back into the stream of life. You know, I'm a civil servant. It's a high octane position. You know, just like yesterday, I had a big fire on Madison Avenue, and now I'm an officer. I got young guys. I have to be awake, because it's like, I have a probie who's brand new, who's never been to a fire before. Now I'm like, I got a job to do. There's a lot of chaos, but then I got to be worried about like this kid and where he's at and what is he doing? Like, is he like running out of air? Like there's always a lot of like moving parts in my life. So to me, I've had to take the book seriously and to take all the directions in here seriously. The book doesn't talk about anything. I always hear that in meetings. The book talks about it. It's just written. It's written in black and white. It's been divinely channeled through these co-founders. You know, Stepping Stones is up the street from here. I was up there the other day. I sat where Bill wrote the 12 and 12. I kind of had a little meditation up there. It's very spiritual up there. You know, and I was just kind of grateful. There was some really old original 12 and 12s around. Some of the original books were around. And, you know, it's just very important, like, that I carry the message, in the sense that, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, it's a textbook. It's not a place. It's not a Zoom meeting. It's not a designation. And it's not people. Alcoholics Anonymous is a book. It's a textbook. It's got a doctor's opinion forwards and 164 pages of absolute directions on how to remain awake, help the next fellow suffer, and really to practice these principles in all of my affairs, which is the hardest order in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, it's very hard to practice love and service in your life if you are asleep and you have no business trying to sponsor somebody in AA, meaning that you have no idea what you're doing. You know, so I'm grateful to be here. I'm living in all three sides of the triangles. I'm attending meetings. I'm very much into the book. I'm sponsoring a lot of people right now. I have a beautiful prayer and meditation life. I exercise. I sit in the sauna a lot. You know, I just try to, I try to really do this thing. This has been just such a blessing, and I'm really happy and grateful to be here. I just hit 16 years of sobriety, and I feel like it was a big milestone. I'm excited to get to 20 years. I'm excited to be an old timer in Alcoholics Anonymous. And, I'm really happy to be here. And, I'm really happy that I've had really strong sponsorships and have been in really strong groups. And if you have a very strong illness, like I have, you're going to have a strong program, or you're either going to drink again, you're going to kill yourself, or from what I see is that you're going to be one very unhappy little puppy in Alcoholics Anonymous, thinking that you're right when you're just not. So thank you.